have to deal with. I have found out 75% of confusion is from relationships. You can't figure out the other person. You get confused. 25% is circumstantial, or things that happen to us. But I don't want to be like that steersman on the Titanic that got it mixed up, do you? Let me give you a secret. We've all steered our ship wrong somewhere in our Christian life. Are you going to be honest with me today? Anybody going to be honest with me today? Should not have done that. Should not have gone there. Maybe you hit an iceberg. Maybe you felt like your life was over. My goodness, God, where are you? There's people not in church today that love God because they're confused. And they're confused about their relationship with God. They're confused about the church. That's why I love that E church. Because people get this idea that a local church is perfect. Everybody's an angel. Everybody will love you instantly. Not. We're a family. We learn. We have different opinions. How many know your opinion's different than the one sitting next to you? But somehow, God unites us together in love. Paul says the greatest is love. He dealt with the Corinthian church. Let me tell you about the Corinthian church. He started it. Then he said, you know what? I'm going to take a trip, a mission trip, and I'm going to stop and see you. And some of them said, well, Paul, who are you? We're of Apollos. We're of this one. Paul goes, what are you talking about? If anybody's your spiritual father, it's me. I said, hey. Then he said, you know, is it really true the more I love you, the less I love you? So Paul got down to business and said, okay, I'm going to help you. He said, I want to tell you your problem. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. And the problem is not love. The problem is you're thinking like a child. You can be 60 years old and still be thinking child. That will bring confusion, won't it? I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, I have one shot at this life. Don't have two. Can't come back. And so I want to make sure that when confusion tries to come, and it will try to come, I have the right steersman in place, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's taking care of my thoughts as I think upon. You know, Peter wrote about shipwrecked faith. And the reason they were shipwrecked is because they went too close to the rocks. We must be careful in this hour as believers. You are dealing with atheism, agnosticism, and what I call stupidism. One of the great revivalists in the 50s said, one of the reasons I don't want to go to hell is I don't want to spend my eternity with stupid people. He said, it's the most stupidest thing you can do to reject Christ. Stupid. The Bible talks about stupid isn't putting someone down. It's a thought pattern that leaves God out. It's called foolish, actually. How does confusion come? I want to know. I want to learn about it. I want to hear preachers talk about it. Confusion comes from a voice. Everybody say voice. Confusion is from deception. Let's go to the scripture, Genesis chapter 3. We have the lights up. I'm going to keep them up during the thing so you can underline in the Bible. Genesis 3 and verse 1. How many know you need to go back to the beginning when you're trying to solve a problem? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, didn't go to the man, went to the woman. Yea, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Not true. God never said, you shall not touch it. She is quoting God. And we understand that touching it would be eating from it. But she quoted God word for word, but she misquoted God. You know what's astounding to me? She knew the voice of Adam. She knew the voice of God. But this strange voice came in. And she wasn't even moved by it. The voice of the world and all of its influence, philosophies, it's so mingled in the Christianity that it doesn't even bother us. Just like Eve. Why didn't she say, you know, who are you? Why didn't she say? You know, it's very possible for us to be listening to the voice, like the Epicureans and the Stoics, the philosophers of the day. It's very easy to be a Christian and allow that in. Because what I see today in the woke culture is not a denial of Jesus, but it's Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad and New Age. You see, even the Muslims acknowledge Jesus was a prophet, but not the Son of God. We live in a time where a young generation is so confused about God. But I'm here to tell you, God wins. And God will not be beat. And God came and had a remedy for Adam and Eve, and He's got a remedy for this generation. Why didn't she say, who are you, man? I don't recognize you. You see, we have to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have truth girded about it. And they say that when they train bankers about counterfeit bills, they don't use counterfeit bills. They make them study the real bill, so when a counterfeit comes, they know immediately. Okay. Let me tell you, friend, there are counterfeits everywhere saying this is the way to God. There's only one way to God. Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to life. Few find it comparably to the 95 or 105 billion people that have lived. Comparably, it's few. It's not God's will, but that's because there's been such a mixture. If you read the seven letters of Revelation to the churches, Jesus is very concerned about three things. Number one, their relationship with Him. Number two, the truth of the gospel going on. And number three, the maturity and the culmination of the bride. We believe Jesus is concerned about you personally. You know, I look back on my life and I see the things that how personal God is. How carefully and strategically and how, I mean, it's just amazing the thoughts that God had towards me when I was still making everything about me. But there comes a time. A child, though he's an heir, differs nothing but a servant, but is under guardians and tutors to the set time by the Father. I know Paul's talking about the law of grace there, but another analogy is, listen, there comes a time when he would know I'm a king's kid and all that, and the maturity level of my life must match the inheritance God wants to give. You see, you know what we need, friends? We need to love truth again. Sometimes we love our prophecies more than truth again. But Peter said we have a more sure word of prophecy. I have heard so many people about the prophecy, they're confused about, listen, put it on the shelf, get in the Word of God. Amen. I said, get in the Word of God. Amen. Because that's the Word. Prophecies are conditional, number one, and they're not totally perfect. Amen. Nothing wrong. I'm prophesying over a lot of people. But it's the Word, isn't it? Amen. You see? What did the devil attack? The Word of God. He said, has God? Oh, yeah. But, and then she misquoted it, and she got confused, and Adam ate. Thank God for Jesus, all I can say. Amen. Confusion is from deception. When you and I battle confusion, we're being deceived. So there's deception coming in. Lies, lying vanities. We all deal with it. The way that I deal with things all the time. Family, friends, church, all the time. And the reality is, the bottom line is, what's the truth? I love the one Rocky movie there. I think it's Rocky 3. Remember? Clubber Lang destroys them. And they're out there walking on the beach. Huh? He just gives up. He's like, I'm lost. What do you want? I want the truth. Alright, I'll tell you the truth. I'm afraid, Adrian, that's the truth. Yeah. I want the truth, Jesus. Not only in your word, but please tell me the truth about myself. Please tell me how self-centered I still am. And please tell me how much most of my life still about me and not really about you. Tell me the truth, Lord. Don't let me be deceived and confused. Tell me the truth if I'm judgmental. Tell me the truth if I can't control my tongue. Tell me the truth if I rob you and give you. Tell me the truth, but don't let me be confused. We want to see God moving. It's going to be because people come back to the truth of the Word and truth that we still need Jesus. One of the worst things to do in our Christian life is to think we're almost there. We really don't need that time with God. It doesn't matter until Jesus takes us up. Tell me the truth, God. Because you'll have a lot of people that won't tell you the truth. Speaking in love, Paul said. You'll have a lot of people, but you know why Jesus will tell me? He's told me the truth about a lot of things in my life. Not harsh, not condemning, but to help. You see, I'm not going out of here to see. The world is confused about three primary things. How many want? Anybody lift your hand? Well, that's not enough. I didn't come for two people. How many want the three things? Okay, not sure. Yeah, I guess the computer is not acting right for me. Yeah, well, I'll just say it. Three things the world's confused about. Number one, God. Who is he? Who is he? Is he a force? Is he a cloud? Who's God? Is he Allah? Is he Jehovah's Witnesses God? Is he the Mormons God who believe he was the brother of Lucifer? Is it the Jehovah's Witnesses God who believe that he was Michael the Archangel that got changed? There's hundreds of millions of people that believe that. That's not the God I know. Who is God? Does he care? Oh yeah, I see him in the Old Testament. Does he really like burning up cities? Why did he do that? Why did he destroy the world? Who is God? What's it all about? People are confused today. Second thing is Jesus. Is he really the Son of God? Oh yeah, he's a nice teacher, a nice person. He was a moralist. You know, Jesus, I know Jesus, he got right. Right to the core with Peter. Peter, who do men say that I am? Because I want to know Peter. Because see, if you don't know, I'm going to go have to get some more fishermen. Who do men say that I am? Am I a good person? Am I Elijah the prophet? No, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. John Huss, back 1200s, 1300s, I believe he was 14, I'm not sure of the date, but He began to help John Wycliffe and others translate the Bible and began to raise up disciples and the established church, religious church at that time. God worked with the rulers and the government. God John Huss brought him before the thing, condemned him to be burned at the stake. And so, while John Huss was being burned at the stake for trying to get the truth out to the average person, William Tyndale, others, the disciples gathered around the fire. Sometimes we think we got trials. And they sang. And they sang, "There is Lord Jesus. There is Lord Jesus. Ruler of all nations, O Son of God and Son of Man." They sang that as he was consumed by the fire. As he preached Jesus and wanted his word. Third thing people are confused about is death. Job said, "If a man die, will he live again?" People are confused about it. Interesting, stars and musicians, all of them die. Great, what he did, what he, you know, movie stars, TV stars. My question is, where are we? That's my question. Not what you did, not if you had number one hits. Where are we? Isn't it interesting that nobody wants to talk about it? Where's the lead singer Leonard Skinner died in a plane crash? It was Greg Allman. Dwayne Allman. Where's two of the members of the or one of the members of Three Dog Night that died? Where are some of the original members of the Temptations? See, the presumption is everybody that dies goes to heaven if they've been good. I tell people this, if you can be good enough, then Jesus shouldn't have died. So that's the deception, that's the confusion. And well, that person was a nice person. Doesn't matter. He's got to have his sins forgiven. But see, when you preach this way, a lot of people get uncomfortable. That's why you and I should have a list of our relatives and friends and be praying before God at the throne of God. Amen. And not just presume they're just going to get saved. God put you there as the high priest to pray and offer. It's like, I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, Dwight L. Moody, one of them. He had 100 people. He prayed for all of his life to be saved. And 90 of them got saved before he died. But at his funeral, the other 10 got saved. Because God is faithful to hear your prayers. There's times my wife and I walk around the house and I speak to my sons and I speak to my other relatives and I pray before God. God, save them. God, I'm not interested in a big ministry. I'm not interested in a car. God, I want my seed in heaven. And I tell the devil where to go. You have no part or lot in this. If you don't do that, you'll get confused. Well, they're not saved, and they're not walking with God. Listen, enough already. The Word says your prayer is effectual. You're not God, and I'm not God, and God has a timing and a place and a circumstance. Leave it to Him if you really believe me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
People are confused. How many funerals I've done in my life, I can't even count them. I love doing funerals because I love imparting the grace of God and love of Jesus for those that are grieving. A lot of you know my dad was not a Christian. Served in World War II in the Air Force. Loved my mom. Hunter, fisherman, real man, sports. Nothing to do with church. A month before he died, I went to see him. You're dying. He asked the Lord in his heart. He said, "My mom." People are confused about God, Jesus, and that. You know, it's the job of the church to help people out of confusion. you know, it's just not the job of the preacher. I can't go when you work. I can't go when you pray. But God's anointed you. And if you'll love righteousness and hate iniquity, God will anoint you above your brethren. If you hate what God hates, see, God's folks don't hate what God hates. We kind of, it's kind of a compromise. We don't hate it. And we don't love what God loves. And that's the problem. God can't trust me if I don't hate what he hates and loves what he loves. He doesn't hate people. He hates sin and iniquity. But he loves people, and he loves to see his kingdom to come. And when you and I this year adjust ourselves, that not just a mentality of coming to church, receiving and not giving. When we come to us, God, realize I have an appointment with God. I have an assignment in the church, and I'm going to do it with an anointing because I love Jesus Christ, and I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of principalities ruling people. I want God to move. Give him a shout, somebody. First Corinthians 14:33, for God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Guess who's the author of confusion? We should never be like that helmsman on the Titanic, doing one thing wrong. We should have clear direction in our life. And if you don't have it yet, get in the Word, get in prayer, and wait on God. You know what he says in the Bible? If you had stood in my counsel, I would have. Quit going to people and asking their opinion what you should do. Give God. Wait on it. You hear it. My sheep hear my voice. You see, Elijah was in the cave. You see, he was out of it. Exhausted. Depressed. We've all been there, honey. God sent a fire. Says God wasn't in the fire. If you've ever been through a fire trial, it doesn't mean God sent it. God sent the wind. The Bible says God was not in the wind. And after, he sent an earthquake. Have you ever just had an earthquake come in your life? You didn't know it was coming. You got up. You went to Dunkin' Donuts? You went and got back. You went back because they didn't do it. Anyway, you went. But halfway through a day, baby, an earthquake hits you. I got both hands up. Devil say God did it. God tempts no man with evil. I said God tempts no man with evil. God doesn't send me trials to see if I love it. That's not true. I don't believe that. I don't believe it at all. What he tries is our heart. So, it says after that, a still small voice. This is what we're missing. We're in the fire, we're looking for a fire extinguisher. We're in the wind, we're looking to get out of it. We're in an earthquake, and our life is all shaking around us. The problem is, we don't go back to the source, God. Say, God, I need to hear what you say. Don't need my hair cut. Don't need a new phone. I don't need a promotion. I don't need a new car. But God, I got to hear you. And this is where God's trying to take the body of Christ. We're not in a desperate situation because we've got all this spiritual knowledge and I've been a Christian for decades and I know the scriptures better than you and I know Greek and Hebrew. Great, wonderful, but that earthquake's still going to come and all that stuff is not going to work unless it translates into a desperation. God, I just need to hear you. God, what are you saying to America? What are you saying to the murders and the violence and the violence? What are you saying to the thousands that don't go to church? God, I need to hear you. What do you say, God? I need your voice. You see, the church has been through the fire, been through the flood, been through the earthquake, been through the wind. Wind blows people this way, blows them that way. Instability here one day, not here doing this one. Oh, we've been through it. But have you heard the voice of Jesus? Could you that I'm not talking about just watching preachers on television. That's not spending time with God. But God might have you listen to somebody. Lord, here I am. Sometimes I come before God. I'm not trying to impress God. Here to hear you about a message for the church. I love it. Here. Let me say, I want to hear God. Sometimes help things come. The shape. My back went out last June. Muscle spasms, I could hardly stand, and they kept coming. And I said, what have I done? I was fine, God, I could hardly walk. And, you know, the second day was still bad. And I just, out of my anger, I said, you know what? I guess I should retire. You know, Paul said, we came to Macedonia, we had no rest, but we just spared even life. Your God didn't look down and say, Bill, you shouldn't have said that. He understands our frame. Thank God for physical therapy. Thank God for losing weight. But I'm going to tell you, I was shaking. And it might not be a bad, but it could be a bad. What did I do? I kept praying. With your books. You know, God, my spirit said, son, I've not changed anything about your calling. I've not changed my plans for you. Right, Lord, I'm going to get this straight. Paul said, as we get to close, 1 Corinthians 14:10, there are, but may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without signification. Be careful how much news you listen to. It doesn't matter what news channel. There's nobody got perfect news. Everybody gives their little bias. I don't care what we're not dealing with perfect news. Sure, watch out, find the big things of the day. But we can get so encapsulated with an ideology rather than truth. A lot of wisdom. You know, if you want wisdom, which I believe 2022 is a year of wisdom. There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Counselors are different than just people you're just going to call and talk to. These are people established in the faith. They've been through stuff. Amen. And they have a certain amount of influence into your life. There is safety there. But wisdom also comes with walking with a wise man. I don't have time, honey, for foolishness. Foolish talking. I need God's wisdom. Think about those 1,600 on the Titanic that perished. As we recap the message here, number one, it wasn't very wise not to have enough lifeboats. You know, after that, the laws changed, but those people are dead. Number two, it wasn't wise that time of year not to be more concerned with icebergs. Any threat of them should have stopped the ship. Number three, they should have never tried to beat a record going across the Atlantic in the middle of the night with icebergs. I don't know about you, but I've been through times of confusion. Anybody? I'm talking about spiritual confusion. There's been times, not as a pastor, as a believer, you have to deal with it. I'm confused. Why is this? Why these people used to serve God, now they don't believe. These people used to be active in church, now they're doing it. What's the confusion? What's happening in the church world? And as Christians, all I know is this. Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of God is like, you know, a king gave all of his servants talents. And he makes another statement in another place. He said, let your torches be bright. Because you don't know if he's coming morning, noon, or night. Let your let your torches be bright with truth. Yeah. Let your torch be bright with passion for God. Let your torch light up someone else's life. Remember the song, this is W. Boone, You Light Up My Life? Some of you are too young. I remember that song, You Light Up. Now, some of the younger ones do. Wow. 50 years old, that's all. You know, God's called the church to light up other people's lives. Yeah. People don't need to debate scripture today. They need a light. They should talk about it. I'm trying to help God's people. You might say the cup's half full. I might say it's half empty. Okay. I'm not here to debate your perspective. I'm here to help you. And you know what? Let me give you a secret. You would help me too. You would help Pastor Dillard too. I just need help. Say, don't joke, we still have. When I say a statement, I think everybody should just stand up like the TBJ's church and you just go, man. Couldn't love you more. Do anything. Do it on power. But I know for this soul, I don't want any sheep confused. I don't want anybody. I want us to be the steersman that gets the clear order, the trouble ahead, and make the right move. 99% of the time, be what we say. That's the rudder. If we can say the right thing at the wrong time, or if we can say the right thing at an inconvenient time, the Lord does. And that's not always easy. All of confusion. That's you listen to temptation sometimes in the age. Sometimes, you know, put my girl on and think about my girl. I listen to the OJs, they sing My Man. Sometimes I tell them this. Sometimes I listen to Stevie Wonder, who's in Sheila, and think about my children, about my wife. Yeah. And I ask her to listen to the song Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. Honey, you're here. Ain't no going back now, man. You signed, you sealed, you delivered. Yeah, you signed the line. Of course, like, you signed it. Which is, Bill, you know, you're a little more needy than I thought you were. Come on, wives. Isn't your husband a little more needy than you thought? Am I the only one? Let's see. The Bible says, I'll make a help meet for you. Right? Ain't no wife saying that. Yeah, Pastor, my help meet, my help thing, let's have a war out here. But we're going to see the sunset together. Let me believe that God wants to send people in here that are dealing with confusion. Let me believe. Can God make an atmosphere where people are set free from that? Yeah. You believe that? If you stand up, we're just going to worship for you.
And all the earth will shout your praise.